verses 3 to 8. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. This is the word of the Lord. Just pray for Mike. Heavenly Father, we just lift Mike before you now. We pray that your Holy Spirit will come and will anoint him afresh to share your words with us. Lord, please place on his tongue the words that you want him to share. And I pray that we would be receptive to hear and to respond to your word this morning. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jane. Okay, we're continuing our series of season of discipleship, and we're kicking off. We kicked off 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, with 3 weeks ago with the four markers of membership, which you should all have now. If you haven't, please help yourself to a flyer outside there with the four markers of membership, which show us what it is to be a fully fledged member, as it were, of Oakley Community Church. Obviously, it doesn't mean that if you're not all four at this moment in time, you're not part of Oakley. It doesn't mean that at all. We're all at different stages. We're all in different places. It just means that this is what we hope that you will aim for and aspire to be able to tick off all of these four marks of membership. And last week we looked at worship the first week. Last week, we looked at worship, the importance of regular meeting together as a church body, as one, and how crucial that is, and how important that is. That you cannot be a Christian in isolation. We need each other. Sunday worship is very important. It's crucial, and we looked at all around that. And then last week we looked at the importance of belonging to something over and above the Sunday gatherings, to be part of some sort of small group or gathering in midweek, either a 2-4 group where you put together your own 2-4, you approach one or two people and say, do you want to meet together once a month or once every 5 weeks? You can be at home. I have breakfast. I have two to four groups. One, I have breakfast, early morning breakfast, with the folk, and we eat, and then we pray for one another in the cafe. Another one, I have an evening meal where I meet with somebody, and we have a light evening meal, share and pray for one another. Pray, support and encourage one another. Or you could be part of a small group. You can come along to the prayer meetings or the courses that we run. But to be something, part of something other than the Sunday service, belong. So worship, belonging, because that helps you build relationships and helps you to integrate into the church as well. And today we're looking at the third marker, which is serving. All of these things are part of discipleship, growing and developing as Christian believers. So serving is what we're looking at today. And society today would tell us that greed is good. Look after number one. Don't worry about anybody else. It doesn't matter who you walk over in order to get what you want. It's all about self. And the teaching of Christ goes completely against the world's teaching. Paul teaches in Philippians 2, verses 3 to 4. He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interests of others. The complete opposite of what the world says. Don't just look out for yourselves, look out for others, those around you as well. And the real source, Paul goes on to say that the real source of joy and the real source of fulfillment in life is to have the attitude of Jesus Christ. The key to greatness and fulfillment is to be a servant, Paul says. And in John 13, we see this fulfilled and modelled and displayed by Jesus himself. John 13 says, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power. So Jesus is all powerful, that he had come from God and that he was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. And when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. And he said, "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." So Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God in human flesh, washed the feet of his followers. He even washed the feet of the one who would betray him. Jesus Christ became a servant. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords became a servant. And you and I, as his disciples, as his followers, are called to do likewise. We're to serve each other, putting the interest of others before our own, which is exactly what Jesus did. So what is, very briefly this morning, what does it mean to be a servant? Just two things I want to look at. First of all, a servant has a heart of humility. Secondly, a servant seeks to serve God, not himself. First of all, a heart of humility. A servant heart full of humility is the greatest expression both of our love for one another and of our Lord. In Acts 6, which we haven't read because of time, we're told about this great apostle, Stephen, this great disciple, Stephen. And Stephen models the same servanthood and humility as his Saviour. Acts 6 tells us that Stephen was a great, great man of faith, but also a man who did great wonders and miraculous signs. He would have performed miraculous healings, and he would have instigated many other supernatural encounters. And I guess many people would have been in awe of Stephen. He would even have had his own following of people and supporters. As well as that, we're told that he had great wisdom and that he was an incredible leader. Verses 9 and 10 of Acts 6 says, "These men began to argue with Stephen, but they could not stand up against his wisdom or the spirit by which he spoke. He was also an accomplished preacher and teacher of the word of God." So here we have this man who was multi-gifted. He had gifts of leadership. He was a pioneer. He had gifts of preaching, teaching. He was an evangelist. He had organizational skills. He was an administrator, and he was courageous. Incredibly multi-gifted man. In fact, he was probably far more gifted than any of the apostles. And you see this over and over again amongst church leaders, lest you think that the church leaders are the multi-gifted people. They are rarely the most gifted church leaders. They are rarely the most gifted. They're just the ones called. They're not necessarily the most gifted ones. They are dependent on the gifts of those around them. So the running of this church is not dependent upon me, it's actually dependent on you and your gifts. I'm just here to facilitate it. But it's dependent entirely on your gifts and your service. And Stephen was well able, such was his giftings, he was well able to lead any Christian organization or movement or one of these big super churches of tens of thousands of people. Such was the calibre of this man, we're told in Acts 6. And yet, astonishingly, we're told that when asked if he would wait on tables, he was asked to wait on tables and distribute food to widows, he humbly accepted the job. He didn't say, he didn't complain and say, no, hang on a sec, I'm actually insulted that you would even suggest I do such a menial task. He didn't think it was beneath him. He didn't say to the apostles, hang on a sec, I'm far more gifted than any of you lot. You go and wait on tables and I'll do the upfront stuff, the stuff that gets the glory and the recognition. After all, I'm the multi-gifted person here. Instead, Stephen, though highly gifted, was humble enough to wait on tables because he knew that that is where he was most needed at that particular time. Because Stephen had grasped that true Christian leadership, true Christian discipleship, was all about servanthood. That's what Jesus himself modelled in John that we just read, when he washed his disciples' feet. And many Christian leaders who have had powerful ministries but lacked humility have subsequently fallen or become ineffective in their ministries. So humility is a key thing in any disciple of Jesus Christ. Secondly, a servant seeks to serve God and not themselves. Rather than seek his own glory and pursue his own agenda, the servant of God is concerned only about one thing: how they can honour how they can honour their God. The true servant doesn't care if they get the credit as long as God gets the honour. John the Baptist said, I must become lesser in order that he becomes greater. So the more prominent Jesus became, the less John the Baptist came. And he was happy with that. And he said, that's exactly how it should be. How it should be. Any successful sports side, if you've ever played a team sport, any successful sports side is not made up of individual superstars seeking to promote themselves. That team will not go very far, even though they may have success, very talented individuals. A successful team is made up of a group of players who have gelled together as a team, as one body. They understand that it's not about bringing glory to themselves, but how they can best serve the team so that the team can win the game. That's all that matters, that the team wins the game. That's their aim, and so they work selflessly to that end. And business experts will tell you that you can't be effective or successful unless you know what your goal is. Once you have your goal, everything must work towards reaching that goal. And the servant of God knows or should know their goal. And the goal of Oakley Community Church is to bring honour to Jesus Christ and to bring as many people to a knowledge of him as possible. That is the goal. That is why we exist. That is why we planted this church. And that is the vision for this church. God willing, when we move back into the building, the vision for the church then is, as God blesses us and grows us, then we will send out teams of people to plant other churches in whatever they may look like. So the message will be, get used to seeing people leave the church every 3-4 years. Get used to seeing people leave the church. Get used to being short of money and short of resources again for 3-4 years thereafter as the church recovers and then sends out again. That is the vision. Why? Because the goal is to reach as many people for Jesus Christ and as we possibly can. That is our goal here at Oakley. And we have to do whatever is necessary to reach that goal. That it may mean continually sometimes stepping out of your comfort zone to do your bit. It may mean serving in a position that is not glamorous. It may mean working in the background, unnoticed. It doesn't actually matter. The goal is not our glory, but His. I was, a while back, I was visiting a church in Southampton, and they had done a really, in its day, a really incredible building project. And it was quite well known in those circles that what an incredible job that they did and how it expanded and whatever. But when I went to visit, I saw in the hallway, in the corridor there, a plaque dedicated to the pastor who had overseen that particular building project. And I looked at it and it made my hair stand on end because I just thought, that's not right. You know, it's not about that pastor. He shouldn't even be on there. It doesn't matter. We're not in it to glorify that. I'm sure it was done in for the right reasons, but it just made my hair stand on end. Friends, it doesn't matter who remembers us, who knows us. All that matters is that God is honored, God is glorified, and the kingdom of God grows. That is who we seek to honor and glorify. We don't seek to bring recognition and glory to ourselves. We deflect that. And as long as Jesus gets the glory, long after I'm gone from Oakley Community Church, who cares who remembers who planted Oakley? I don't want people to remember Mike Pavlou or any of the other or the other team that came with us. None of you know, apart from Anna and Mark and Honor, probably nobody else here knows the original 15 that came and planted this church. And that's exactly how it should be. Why should you? They didn't come for glory for themselves. They came to bring glory to Jesus. So it's not about us. It's about the kingdom of God. And the extent of a person's love for Jesus Christ can be measured by what they do when they are alone. When there's no one else around to witness their faithfulness or their good deeds. And maybe no one will ever know what they have done. And the question is, are you prepared to carry out faithful good deeds even when nobody else will know, see or hear about them? Are you prepared to be faithful to God even when others will have no idea that you have been? When there is no one to thank you or praise you for it? And if you're not, then let me suggest to you that perhaps you may just be serving that you're not serving for God's glory, but for yours. Now, when it comes to service or serving God, a lot of people get the wrong idea. A lot of people think, hang on a sec, an excuse often made for not following Jesus is, what if he asked me to go and serve him in somewhere like Outer Mongolia or Iraq or Iran or somewhere like that or some far corner of the jungle? What if I have to leave everything to follow and serve Jesus Christ? I can't do that. Well, the chances are, for the vast majority of us, he won't call you to leave everything to follow him. Although there will always be some things in our lives that we will have to leave behind if we're serious about following Jesus Christ. There will be some things that we have to say no to and turn our backs to, whether it be a lifestyle, whether it be relationships or something. There will be some things that you have to leave behind in order to follow Jesus. But what God needs to know, he may not call you to go to Outer Mongolia, but what he needs to know is that if he did, would you be prepared to go? And that's what he's looking for. If he did, would you be prepared to go? And the fact is that for the vast majority of us, the call will not be the mission field to Outer Mongolia or to Iraq or whatever. The vast majority of us will be called to be missionaries in our workplaces, in our homes, amongst our friends, amongst our family, amongst our neighbours, within our local church, within hospitality teams, serving coffee, within kids' work, within youth work, within just being a listening ear when somebody's going through difficult times, stacking chairs, praying for people, cleaning, maintaining our buildings, administration. If you're housebound and elderly and you feel you can't do much, you can pray. The greatest service that you can do for anybody, pray for them. We all need, we're all one body with many parts. Everything is interdependent. We all need each other and cannot function properly when one part is missing. That's why the Bible refers to the church as a body. You will soon, your little toe or your thumb or little finger you may think is insignificant, but you'll soon notice it if it's not there. The rest of the body will not function as it should, and it will have to somehow compensate for that missing insignificant limb, as it were. Now, it's often the upfront jobs that get the praise and the recognition. And if you're an upfront person and you think that messy, unglamorous little jobs are beneath you, well, then maybe you need to learn a little bit more about humility before God can really use you. Every ministry is important, and none of them, as far as I'm concerned, more so than the unseen, seemingly insignificant, unglamorous ones. They are not usually recognized in the same way and receive very, very little praise and appreciation, but not by me. The ones that are often, ministries are often not noticed and taken for granted by the vast majority of us. So somebody has to clean the toilets. Somebody makes sure that there's toilet paper there for you to use. Somebody has to make sure that the soap is there. Doesn't just appear. Somebody has to put the chairs out. The chairs didn't just manifest as you came in. Somebody came early, especially, and put them out. Somebody has to sort out the heating. Somebody has to sort out the lighting. Somebody has sorted out the provisions and ordered and collected and made sure that it was delivered. Somebody had to make sure the coffee was made and transported in order that you can just turn up and enjoy it. It didn't just manifest. These people you wouldn't even see or know or hear about often. But that's what makes the church run. During the winter months, you would not have been aware when we had heavy rain, that was flooded, that pathway there. Somebody was here early, sweeping water up to their ankles so that you could come in and not get wet. Similarly, it was covered in leaves on another occasion. Somebody came and swept for ages all the leaves out of the path to clear it so that everybody could come in to the church. And if you're involved in this type of ministry and you think that your act of service isn't as important as the people who are up front, then you need to hear this phrase, which I love and I've used before, is that great doors open on small hinges. Great doors open on small hinges. It doesn't matter how wonderful a door is, how grand a door is. If it doesn't have any hinges to hold it up, it cannot open. It cannot open. And without these little hinges, it doesn't matter. It's useless. Any door is rendered useless without them. So don't ever think that your job is too small or too insignificant, because without it, the kingdom of God could not advance. It couldn't advance. It is kingdom work. I recently, I'm one of the trustees of Philo Trust, and I was asked to go and meet and chat and pray with all the staff members a few months back. And one of them, the office manager came, and then the accountant, and then the jazzy promotional advertising person came, and then the bloke who does all the graphics and all that, all these people came. And then there was a young girl who I saw almost last, and she said, "I just work in the stores." She said, "I just put the books that are ordered and ensure that they get sent out, and that you know, just work in the warehouse. And I sat and I spoke to him, and I just said, you know, you do one of the most important jobs in this place. Do you realise that? That you're responsible for all this Christian literature, all this evangelistic literature that goes out and reaches thousands and thousands of people. Without you doing this little job, thousands of people across the world would not get this Christian literature. Do you realise how important? And you could just see her like, oh yeah, I hadn't really thought of it like that. Her stature just suddenly grew from that. So don't ever say, don't ever think that your job is too small or too insignificant. It's kingdom work. It's part of kingdom work. So I want to say a big thank you again. Publicly, I hope I do it often privately, but publicly, to all of you who serve here so faithfully. And this is here at Oakley, we're really pledged, when privileged, certainly I am as a leader, when I speak and with other leaders, we have such a servant-hearted church here. The vast majority of our members here serve and give in some shape or form. And it's just such a privilege to be part of a church like that. So I thank you, and I thank all of you who serve here so faithfully, but I thank especially all you small hinges. A special thanks to all you small hinges. All of us are one body, all of us are one team, and each of us is dependent on each other. No one ministry is more important than the other, so please don't ever think otherwise. We all integrate and need each other. So as we conclude, the best way for us to be a servant is to look at Jesus Christ. And Philippians 2 says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient, even to death on the cross. So Jesus Christ set aside the privileges of heaven to become a human being. He traded the glory of heaven for the humble trappings of a dirty stable. He gave up sleep so he could pray for the lost. He gave up his privacy so that he could heal the sick, as people just brought him, sick person after sick person. He gave no regard to his reputation, but instead took time to visit a Samaritan woman with a questionable past. He washed the feet of the ones who had vowed to serve him. And in the ultimate act of servanthood, he willingly gave his life on the cross for our redemption. Jesus Christ is our example of true servanthood. And if you don't understand what being a servant means, then as you look at him, it will become very, very clear. So as we look at Oakley this morning, and we look at it and we say, what's the potential here this morning? And as we look at our Lord Jesus Christ, and as we seek to follow his example, and as we give over humble and committed service, and as we come to Christ and make him number one in our lives and say, here I am, Lord, use me, as we come with that attitude, then the potential here is enormous, is absolutely enormous. 12 people did that, and look at the outcome of that. 12 people, ordinary people, just said, here I am, use me, and the whole world was transformed. How much more 120 if they came with that same attitude? Here I am, I make you central in my life, Jesus. Now how can you use me? How can you use me? And if we determine to maintain the same attitude of Jesus Christ, then I believe that God can and will continue to do extraordinary things here at Oakley Community Church for the glory of his name and for the extension of his kingdom.